Welcome to another episode of Hockey Feels / Beginner's Puck.
Slash? We're already slashing.
There was lots of slashing tonight.
Mm-hmm. This is just Beginner's Feels of Sadness.
Yeah. I'm Steven. And
wowed him. Wow. Can't even let me introduce myself without slurping your tall Vegas beverage.
2 feet of booze.
Yeah. I'm Rachel.
Hi, Rachel.
And I'm a Flyers fan.
And I'm Erica, and I thought I was a Golden Knights fan.
Yeah. And I'm Deb, and I'm just sad.
Why are you sad, Deb?
Oh, because we're sitting here in a hotel room in Las Vegas, and we were so excited. We were so excited when the schedule came out, and we realized that we could do this epic road trip after leaving Los Angeles, where we are for another convention, for a whole nother fandom. And we drove through the desert, and we went to a ghost town.
We saw
the world's biggest thermometer.
We did.
Yeah. It's huge. We did that.
And we got to Vegas, and it was great. We're in New York, and we were all pumped, and we bought stuff at the store that we had to wait in line for.
I'm still wearing the toque that I bought.
I'm still wearing my Schwerzy. TM Rachel.
Oh, no.
A word that Rachel coined. It's a sweatshirt and jersey together.
It looks like a jersey.
Yeah, it's that pullover sweatshirt thing, but with the jersey strings. But it's a hoodie.
And it's a hoodie.
It's very warm because it's freaking cold.
It's 35 degrees or something.
Four
like
degrees
that.
Celsius in Las Vegas.
I don't know
what
that means. I'm just saying 35.
It's cold.
We're a double. Mm-hmm. But Canadian,
but the reason that we're really, really sad is that I think we just built this so much up, and the Vegas Golden Knights just could not hockey tonight. They could not hockey tonight.
It was really weird. They couldn't do basic things like
pass the puck
and
stay upright on the ice.
Or skate to a puck that was just sitting there and grab it with their stick and continue moving with the puck.
Yeah. Is James Neal the glue that holds this team together? He was a scratch tonight.
Yeah.
And like, is he just, that's, they need him that bad?
I don't know.
On the upside,
yeah,
it truly was a hockey spectacle. Spectacular. Mm-hmm. It was Cirque du Hockey.
Oh my God.
But it was not good hockey.
No.
But the energy of the arena and the fan base, despite the fight that happened at the end with the Ducks fans, but the Ducks fans were super obnoxious. So honestly, I don't blame people for wanting to punch them in the face, which happened in the section next to us. Mm-hmm. But it was delightful and cheesy. It was everything that they said it would be, and I loved every second of it, including the bobblehead theater.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
No.
Oh,
yeah, no. 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 Uh-uh. No.
It's a great bobblehead. I love it.
No.
Team bobblehead over here.
Jeez. It was free bobblehead night, and apparently for some reason the Vegas Golden Knights, their mascot is a Gila monster for some reason.
Because everybody knows that the
classic knights of old all carried around Gila monsters on their shoulders.
Right.
Is it Gila or Gila? Gila.
Is it Gila?
Mm-hmm. Is it GIF or HIF?
Shut up.
We're not going down that road, Steven. I've got a 2-foot drink and I'm not afraid to use it.
we all got mascot bobbleheads.
Which, if anybody...
Oh my God, that's a horrible sound.
Yeah, so those of you that know me know that I absolutely despise mascots and am terrified of them and have actual severe anxiety attacks when they come near me. So, of course, the bobblehead was the mascot. Mm-hmm. And not only was the bobblehead the mascot, but there was some sort of mascot convention happening to the point where all of these mascots, there was the Bailey from the Kings showed
Coyotes.
Up, and the one from, from...
The Blues.
The Blues.
What is that blue thing?
And the Coyotes.
It's a lobby thing.
I think it's just a... Oh, I don't know what those... I think there was 2 or 3 local...
Yeah, there were some local ones mascots. For their minor league baseball team and UNLV and...
This is... I want to blame...
Like
I want to blame us, Stephen and I, for that, because the same thing happened when we were in Spokane and went to a Spokane Indians right. game. Right. It was like the birthday of one of the mascots. Yeah. So all of the
Recycle
mascots
Man. It was the birthday of Recycle Man.
That's right.
Recycle Man.
Who basically was like Randy the Macho Man Savage as Superman, as a
proponent of recycling.
Proponent of recycling.
Oh my God.
So yeah, this was terrible. Oh, this was a bunch of mascots playing hockey against a bunch of little kids during one of the intermissions.
So I was trying not to pay attention to that.
Yeah. And then we had Bobblehead Theater, which Deb mentioned, and
one of the little entertainment videos.
One of the things Rachel's feelings about mascots is pretty much my feelings about bobbleheads. They're the creepiest things in the world. I cannot stand them. So yeah, Rachel and I were just having a great time. Yeah, when that mask, when the bobblehead theater came on, it was just a video of all of these bobbleheads bobbling their
singing,
little bobbleheads.
Take a chance on me.
Oh,
Chance, the mascot, was singing "Take a Chance on Me" to the Betty Boop bobblehead, and it was brilliant. There was a Michael Jackson bobblehead involved who was moon dancing. It was great.
Yeah. It was terrible.
Then again, I'm operating on about 12 hours sleep for the past 3 days, so I really am like at the LSD levels of tired.
Can we talk about how crazy the arena beforehand? We get there at like 5:30-ish.
Yeah, people are lined up, like huge crowds to get in.
Giant.
Yeah.
Orderly and lines.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, lots of lines, and
there's a DJ.
Plaza, and a little. Oh, there was a bar. Mm-hmm. And
people were walking.
There was
the dude walking around selling beer, like you do in the arena. The beer guy was walking around the plaza.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
But it's Vegas,
so that was cool.
Vegas,
and then we went to the team store and spent too much money.
We had to wait in line.
We got in line,
and then
to get to go to the team store. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and then, other than
we saw the parade,
we did see the drum
because we heard
the drummer
it.
Parade.
We heard it outside because the drummers who stand up in the castle during the game.
Yeah, they have their own drum line and they're amazing.
Yeah, and they walk around and like bang the drum and stuff. But then there were all the mascots with them, and so we were riding up the escalator. And on the other way down the escalator, there was like mascots,
18 mascots and drummers,
cheerleaders, drummers. I got the whole video.
It was It was great. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It, the energy of that crowd was amazing.
It really was.
And they do a lot of really cute in-arena things. Like whenever somebody goes to the penalty box, they have a little funny video. Whenever the other team scored, they have a video. It's like movie clips and television clips of people having temper tantrums and throwing televisions out the window. I mean, it's all stuff that in a traditional hockey market would like never fly. Mm-hmm. But I do have to say that coming from, you know, bitter Philadelphia fandom, who is just used to like kind of, you know, giving up on our team when they're not doing really well. Vegas was down 2-0, and the energy of the crowd at 2-0 was like, we can do this. Like, we can do this. Good. There was a little pump up video.
They just don't know yet.
They'll
get there.
They're so young.
I swear to God, they'll get there.
And happy.
Pretty soon.
And just, it gave me hope. The game didn't give me hope, but the Vegas fans gave me hope.
Yeah, people did leave early. Not as early as you see it in some
not like
rinks.
Pittsburgh,
but yeah, it was like, you know, there's like 4 or 5 minutes left, and that was when people started really leaving in droves.
The other thing that I thought was pretty cool is that people were very creative with their outfits, and that there wasn't just people. I mean, you know, there's a lot of people in jerseys and stuff, but there were people wearing lots of sparkly things,
and
especially the gold. Mm-hmm. You know,
lame and sequins.
Yeah.
Yep.
A lot of that. And then there was this woman there who was wearing a jumper that it looked like it was specialty made. I don't know if they just sell them or she made it, but it was really cool that it was out of fabric that was like the Golden Knights logo, and it was also sparkly, and it was really freaking cool.
It was very cool.
So, there's definitely some interesting and fun attire at the game.
The fan base
other than the Ducks fans.
Well, there's so many Ducks fans. But no, I mean, that's the one thing that, I noticed that really stood out for me. It was a fun arena to be in. Mm-hmm. And I told you at one point, Stephen, like, if I had never seen a hockey game, if I lived in Vegas and I was new to hockey and I got a ticket to a game and went there and saw that, I'd be like, sign me up. Like, mm-hmm. get me a 10-game package, whatever I can do. There's a waiting list for season tickets for next year. They showed it up on the...
Really?
Yeah, they said join the wait list.
Wow.
The cheapest tickets were $100 a seat. So... And that's in Vegas in the middle of the desert. These people love their team. They love having
They love having a pro level
team. And they are all in. They are all in. Everybody was wearing some kind of Vegas attire, whether it was a hat or a t-shirt. Mm-hmm. A lot of kids
The kids that was the thing that got me a lot, you know. Just noticing how many kids are up on screen and stuff doing their crazy dancing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really focused on highlighting the crowd. I noticed on the in-game presentation.
Better than highlighting the game.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I wonder, and I do kind of wonder how, if that would be different if they were doing well, if we would have seen more replays of stuff that was happening on the ice rather than
probably,
you know, kids dancing.
Probably.
I would like to think so, but you know what, guys? We may never know unless we come back.
We don't even know what the goal song is like.
No.
No idea.
We don't.
I'm drink my drink of sadness again.
What do we think of the... So the pregame starts and they have a big like countdown to it going black.
And everyone's standing up.
Everyone's standing up and going crazy.
Which,
like,
from an accessibility standpoint, is not the greatest.
True. It's like 5 minutes left in like the pregame kind of thing. As the clock's winding down, they play a video, very short video, and then they
do this, like,
they put the stone,
medieval times,
sword in the stone at center ice. Mm-hmm. And they had a guy in a black cape and a Ducks flag waving. Everyone booed, and he goes and tries to pull the sword from the stone, and then
can't.
Our heroic Golden Knight comes out.
Sure.
And they do a little skate dance battle, and then he knocks him over and then pulls the sword out.
And everybody went crazy.
They went crazy. It was incredibly cheesy.
That was so cheesy.
And people ate it up.
It was Vegas.
I did.
That was so Vegas.
Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Me too.
And the fact that the upper level at the one end looks sort of like a castle, and they have the banners hanging down for every single team, and they light up
they look like medieval banners,
opponent.
Not traditional hockey banners.
Yeah.
They're styled to be
like castle banner.
Yeah.
And so the Vegas one is permanently lit, but then they light up the one for the opponent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's very Game of Thrones. I wanted a turkey leg.
Mm. I think you're right. You said medieval times, didn't you?
But the whole, like, the
there wouldn't be any utensils, but there would be Pepsi. Yeah.
That's true.
It was very epic. It felt like I said, it felt very entertainment sports.
It was very much WWE.
Oh yeah,
very much medieval times.
Which the
Vegas
team has played up to that level up until recently, but tonight it certainly wasn't.
No.
So the team has...
I wonder if it was an off night or this is actually how they play and they just have gotten lucky.
I don't know. I mean, we walked in and I turned around to you, Stephen, and said, this is a Monday night.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what the town is going to be like when they get to playoffs? They're going to go nuts because it seemed nuts. It seemed playoff nuts.
Yeah.
Not that I know, because
it didn't seem playoff nuts, but it seemed like crowd wise, it was, you know, like the number of people, but the energy wasn't quite the same. I can't imagine how intense that would be to take it up to the next level.
Mm. I will be very interested to see how this team is doing enthusiasm wise when the Raiders hit town.
Yeah. Mm.
In two or 3 years' time.
I think it's two.
Yeah.
Like two and a half now.
Yeah, I mean the novelty might just start to wear off. Just
especially if they're not great, if they level out. Mm-hmm. Who knows though? Who knows what'll happen?
Where's the football stadium being built? Like, you know, because usually they put them like off in the outskirts because they have a big giant parking lot for tailgating and stuff. Mm-hmm. If it's on the strip, maybe I think, ooh, watch out. But then again,
I doubt it.
It's only like 9 games a year, really, in Vegas anyway. So how much?
Right,
really,
but in terms of money dedicated,
that's
so
true.
Few of your choice of getting Raiders season tickets or Golden Knights season tickets, what are you going to do?
Right.
I don't know. Just speculation.
I like the odds of getting more hockey tickets for my dollars. and football tickets. Yeah.
Also, it's Vegas when it's, you know, summer in the middle of the desert. Well, not summer. When, I guess it's hockey season is winter, but you know, going in someplace cold as opposed to having to sit outside in the sun.
Also true.
But as we learned today, it's not always warm in the desert.
It's freezing.
It is literally
and
freezing.
Windy.
I was so misled. I was so misled by Nevada in mid-February.
That's true. I looked at the weather. It didn't seem like it would be that bad. Mm. But I really am pleased, despite the loss. And really, not just the loss. I don't mind a team losing if they've gone out there and played good hockey. And this was not good hockey tonight.
It was not.
No.
I feel cheated. But anyway, I'm glad I got a boss drink. It's like
very
big tall.
Drunk.
It's like
drunk
a hurricane
drink.
Or something. I don't
the
know.
Flavor is hurricane.
It's hurricane, whatever that is.
The night was I think symbolized when David Perron of the Golden Knights had like what looked to be if not a breakaway, certainly had the angle to the net from basically center ice
by himself,
and then he sort of slowed down and started to think maybe I should pass this, and just lost the puck. It just rolls off.
It's like, where'd it go? Where'd it go? Where's that thing? It's black. I had it here just a second ago.
That was...
But despite all of that, and despite the sounds of hockey, I really am happy that we came during this inaugural season.
Yes.
That we had an opportunity to
come. Very much so.
And see this, the love that this town has for this team before they get bitter and jaded. Right?
Yep.
Yeah. Looking at Rachel. So it's not a complete loss. And we... got to see a ghost town and the world's biggest
That's
thermometer.
True.
So
That's
we
true.
Win. We win.
And Vegas we ate at Del Taco for the first time.
Also
so that was,
So
that was a big day.
Very
big
happy day. To introduce y'all to Del Taco.
That was good. I had a good veggie burrito.
That was good.
You can talk amongst yourselves now.
Yeah.
She's going back to her 2-foot drink.
I want
to. But Deb.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We have Flyers news to discuss.
Yes.
Well, there's a couple things I wanted to mention about Vegas before we move on to the rest of the NHL. One, I made it on Twitter, I'm making a bold prediction. Vegas Golden Knights are losing in the first round of the playoffs.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'm gonna dispute that. Okay.
I am. I don't think they're going to get swept.
Right.
I think they're going to make it to the second round.
You think so?
I do.
You think there's be enough enthusiasm to push them past? Maybe it'll depend on who they play in that first round. If they play a team like a more vet, if they play LA, they're done.
Oh yeah, LA will just shut them down.
Yeah,
completely.
Because Vegas has like they're sort of playing at their peak already, and I don't see this kind of team elevating their game past where they're playing right now.
I mean, who knows? What you know with Trotz,
right? In Nashville? In
Washington?
Yeah, Washington. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know because
Sorry,
every
Gallant.
Time
I said Trotz, I meant Gallant. I don't know why I was thinking about Trotz. Oh, because I had Devontae Smith-Pelly on my brain.
Oh yeah,
we'll
talk about that too. Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah, I don't know. I think every time that we have counted them out and we've said this is it, they find something else.
Yeah,
they really do. So I am loath to make a prediction that's going to shut them down completely because every time that's happened, they've come back and surprised us.
That's a valid point. But every time I pay attention and watch this team, they let me down. And I feel like they have somehow pulled the wool over everyone's eyes.
It's magic, Harry.
I wouldn't say that they've let me down because
the Oilers beat them, and that was good. And the Flyers beat them, and that was good, too.
Right?
Yeah. It seems, I mean, I have to be honest, most of the time that I've been paying attention to them and actually sat down and watched very closely is when they're playing the Oilers. And we beat them, except for
the last game. We weren't ironical. We weren't watching them. So.
I wasn't able to pay any attention to the
Maybe
game.
Maybe it's
but
us.
Could be, you know.
Maybe we're the Vegas curse.
Okay. Ooh, that's interesting.
Well, then if you want your prediction to be right, Steven, then you just need to watch every game in the first round.
Well, I will. It's the playoffs. I love watching games in the playoffs. The last thing I wanted to mention about the game before we move on to other stuff is that tonight also proved to me that, as you said, Ducks fans are the worst, and the Ducks are terrible.
I don't think the listeners can see who you're pointing to when you say
I'm
you.
I'm pointing the... Well, Rachel said that. Yes. Come on, this video. That team, I still have so many lingering emotions from last year's playoff run that I just can't get over it. And then seeing the fight break out in the stands mm-hmm. between a Ducks fan and a Knights fan, and then mm-hmm. yeah. Anyway,
their fans were obnoxious. Yes.
There were at least two or three incidents we saw. Mm-hmm.
So. Yep, and there was a kid there with his mom sitting right behind me. Ducks fans. Kid kept kicking my chair. To her credit, she started out by, you know, telling the kid to stop kicking the seat, which was nice. But, you know, you got to keep that up if you actually want them to continue being still.
That's emblematic of basically how the Ducks themselves are treated by referees. You know, they call them, you know, mm-hmm. I can't keep doing that. I'll call penalties, and they just keep doing it, and mm-hmm. then they don't get penalized.
Well said.
That's just how it goes. Mm-hmm. Just like Kessler grabbing Talbot's pads.
Oh God. Speaking of which, yeah. there was, I swear to mm-hmm. God, there was that jersey foul.
Yeah.
Where that seemed to be a combo jersey of Kessler
and Getzlaff.
I
Getzlaff.
Saw
that. Yeah.
Why would you do that?
How would you pay money for that?
Oh, I felt dirty just reading it.
Getzlaff. What about Nuff said?
Oh, God. That was pretty bad, too.
Nuff said number one on the back mm-hmm. of a Vegas fan, which was like...
Yeah. I mean, like unless that's some sort of thing that's local that... Or it was like...
Maybe. I mean, I was just reading it to be like, we are number one in the league, so enough said, we're the real deal. Mm. Which, you know, good for you for paying a bunch of money and being bold enough to do that, but I suspect it's not going to be relevant for terribly long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but it was real for this guy at this time.
That's true.
So he will always have that jersey as a memento of this occasion. Yeah.
Just like there were a few like Vegas Strong 17.
Mm-hmm. No one had, that's fine.
They had one that said, I can't remember what it said, but the number was 10.1 for October 1.
Yeah, I think it just said that one said Vegas Strong as well.
Was the Vegas Strong? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that was kind of neat. So, yeah. So, boo to the game and the result. But yay for the enthusiasm
and the food. And the
food's good.
Yeah, we had nachos, and nachos. Deb also had some chicken fingers and French fries, which she didn't finish, and I got to finish. And I can say that, you know, having eaten many of those things at Roger's place, all of this food here was better than what I got. Yeah, like the chicken was
great,
way better, mm-hmm. way better, and French fries too, actually. Yeah. Than Edmonton. So, like, I still want you guys to visit and come to Roger's place and come. Do an Oilers game with me, but I don't want to set your expectations very high in terms of the food. This is better.
Well, on to other news. What other stuff is that happening around the NHL? Maybe the Olympics, if anybody's been paying attention to it.
Sure.
With it having the middle of the night.
Yeah. So haven't gotten to watch a ton of it because we've been busy at the Doctor Who convention. Yeah. But
nerds,
we've got the women's bracket. We're down to the final of USA Canada. US beat Finland in their semifinal.
Mm-hmm.
Canada beat not Russia,
right?
Or
Russia. Yep. 5-0 as well. Wasn't it?
Yeah. So
when's
by
the final?
This comes out.
When's the final? No, when's the final? Wednesday night.
Is I believe Wednesday? So.
Yeah. Oh,
so it starts at 11. It's like the 11
p.m.
Eastern start.
Oh, good Lord. Thursday's going to be terrible.
Yeah.
Wow. So.
Because that's one game you probably do want to stay up for. Probably.
Yeah.
That's not 11 o'clock your time.
No, it's only 9.
Nope. You have this weird West Coast thing. There was breakfast hockey.
Oh, my God.
This weekend.
9 a.m., the Flyers-Rangers game.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, because it was the noon game. So. Yeah. Just getting out of bed and watch Flyers Rangers.
Yeah,
and watch another Flyers morning. Goalie go down.
Oh,
yay!
Yeah, Neuwirth gone for how long? We don't know how long.
Weeks, not days.
Was
we just don't know what the specifics are yet. They're not saying, but it appears that regardless of the Neuwirth injury, the Flyers were shopping for a rental goalie anyway. Because I don't think they wanted Alex Lyon to be the regular backup.
No.
Especially because he was needed at the Phantoms and he's just not NHL ready. Right. So,
do you ever see him being NHL ready or just a steady AHL goalie?
Probably just steady AHL, but you never know.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you get a lot of goalies in your system and see who pans out. You know, of course, there was the fantasy scenario where they call up Carter Hart in the emergency. Right. But that's not going to happen. You know, just like Vegas did when they were down goalies.
Call in their from Kamloops.
Yep. But that was never going to happen. Mm. Ron Hextall would never have allowed that to happen. So
we got a new one.
New goalie traded for Peter Mrazek from Detroit. And Ron, I think, negotiated a pretty darn good deal.
Not bad, considering
the Flyers are in a bit of dire straits. You would think other teams could pull one over on them or make the Flyers overpay, but they just didn't. So they got Detroit got a conditional third and a conditional fourth, and all of that depends on
if Philly makes the playoffs,
how many games in the playoffs Mrazek wins himself, and if he signs for another year. So there's all these different scenarios. So it's looking likely that, you know, it would just be a third round pick.
Mm-hmm. Or isn't it possible just a fourth round pick?
Yeah, it's possible just a fourth round.
And that's kind of a worst case scenario. Yeah. Though.
And there was a hefty retention Detroit. Of salary, too, for Detroit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Detroit's retaining half the salary. So it's only a $2 million cap hit. So the Flyers have had just under 10 million left on the cap, and so this knocks two off. And so people were speculating and that we would have gone out to get maybe another defenseman or another scorer or something just to supplement, but also some of that money may be dedicated toward paying out bonuses because our guys are scoring at certain levels. So
you gotta set that aside somewhere.
I know, like looking at Coots and Konechny, and I haven't looked at the updated scoring rankings, but as of yesterday after the Rangers game, Claude Giroux was in the top three in scoring.
Wow.
69 points.
Very nice.
Reaches for their phones for the NHL stats.
No, I didn't. I that's just me remembering because I remember Kucherov at 77. Yeah. I checked because Big
Yeah, Kuch was number one, and then it was tied. It was somebody on the Pens.
It was Kessel or Malkin.
It was probably Malkin.
Yeah, it wasn't Crosby because Crosby's tied with McDavid.
Yeah. So, and I think Voracek was still up top on assists. Mm-hmm. So
the money may be.
So there could be some bonuses being paid out. Yeah. So we'll see what happens, though. Mm-hmm. And Mrazek's on his way and should be at practice tomorrow.
Tuesday, as we record
Tuesday,
this.
Yeah. So we should hear more after practice tomorrow on Neuwirth and Mrazek signing, or you know what the plan is for Mrazek, and
because Elliot's already out for 5 to 6 weeks.
Poor muscle surgery.
Yeah. So you know it could be that Elliot comes back when the playoffs kick in, and then Mrazek's the backup. But depending on what's going on with Neuwirth at that time,
unless Mrazek just razzle-dazzles y'all.
Mrazzles.
Yeah.
Mrazzles.
Oh, my God. Get out.
You signed up for that. He's yours. He's not mine, but he's yours. I have no claim.
Right. Wait, which one of us? Because he's mine on the podcast, but he's Erica's.
He's mine in real life. Ugh.
Yeah.
I get to walk away. My 2-foot drink.
So I do want to switching back to the Olympics a little bit. I do we'll do a little bit more of a wrap up of the Olympics next week
on our trade deadline special. Are you doing anything for your trade deadline on Beginner's Pod?
I would like to, but it's filling me with anxiety.
Right.
Because there's just the Flyers are doing so good. Dallas just moved into a third place spot in the Central, which has been like the points in that division.
I could make a Deb Likes Dallas comment.
Don't you?
Why have I never put that together until right now?
Because you're not as funny as me.
You are obviously the funnier one.
Worst. Mm-hmm. But both of those teams, you know, I'm looking like, what are they going to do to make that final push? And it's making me a little nervous that they're going to do something rash. It's gonna, I don't know. Like last year, I was so concerned about the trade in the Hockey Hunger Games scenario because everybody,
that's right,
it didn't seem like a real trade. Everybody was making strategic moves at the trade deadline in preparation for the expansion draft. Mm-hmm. This just feels a little bit different because this is a true trade deadline situation. Mm-hmm. And teams that I have feelings for are in a position to make a serious playoff run. So
I just don't care anymore.
Really? Yeah.
As far as the feelings go, because I'm old and jaded.
You are, true. But seeing so I'm
used to seeing my lovely children go away and have great successes elsewhere.
Thank you, Braden.
So break Braden Shen.
Yeah,
That's what I said something last.
And you just got to be happy for them until they come back and burn you.
Inevitably score
like Zach Ronaldo.
Yeah,
which is a thing that happens every damn time.
Didn't he score like immediately after being put it in the game the last time we played? And like got the game winning goal.
He definitely scored.
That is an Oilers tradition to have a former player come and score a goal.
Carcillo did it all the time. He would get two goals a year and they'd both be against the Flyers.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm like stalking trade deadline news. Yeah. If we can, we'll definitely be talking about it.
Yeah, February 26th.
I don't think we're doing a special on it.
Too much.
That's not our podcast.
I do enjoy watching the trackers and just seeing the transactions. Yeah. Pile up. That's fun for me.
Like up in Canada.
I don't know, but
me too.
Like you guys do a whole TV special, right?
Oh, it's
Jeff
ridiculous.
Marix hosts it.
It's ridiculous.
And they have video screens. It's like election night in America.
It is. I was going to say, it's election night.
It really
they
is.
Start at like 6 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because the trade deadline is.
Do you have
is.
Holograms?
I don't know. We don't have like Wycliffe John appearing as a hologram talking to Wolf Blitzer or anything like that. No, that's ridiculous. But it might happen because they need to feel it because oftentimes trade deadlines have been crazier in the past. And now because of the cap, teams are a little more hesitant.
Yeah, like last year they started at 6 o'clock in the morning and pretty much nothing happened. Yeah. So they had to fill hours
of time.
But
didn't they bring in... Brizgali? Is that...
Brizgalov.
Yeah. Okay, I couldn't... I wasn't trying to pronounce it.
Briz the goalie.
Everybody just calls
his
Briz.
Twitter account is Brizgali.
Yeah,
okay.
That's why.
Brizgali why?
Didn't they like bring him in and just like started talking about anything to fill the time? And it was really, really funny.
Right.
The bits that I saw, because I live in the States, I'm not allowed to watch Canadian TV. That's you guys true. Lock it down.
Well, we can't watch NHL Network in Canada. We don't have the NHL Network.
It's terrible. Mm-hmm. You
it's
don't
so
need
weird.
It. All they do is simulcast TSN anyway.
Okay. All right.
When they're not showing games or showing reruns of games.
Right.
We they're, get to watch Hockey Central at noon. We watch them record it.
We do too. On TV. Really? You watch it as well?
Yeah.
We have that in common?
It's the noon thing.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, I do until it annoys me so much.
Yeah, I know. It annoys me a lot right now.
And Kiprios just crawls under my skin sometimes. He talks over people. He's
he
so
does.
Rude.
He does a lot. I was trying to talk over you just to make a
Yeah, but
point.
I can handle it. Not everybody can.
That's true. We do it civilly as well.
That's true. Yeah. We're very polite. All right.
Anyway, Rachel wanted to do an Olympics thing. We talked over about trade deadlines. So go ahead, Rachel. What do you want
this
to say?
This happens when you have two mods together talking.
Yeah, exactly. Crossover podcast.
Yeah. So we will do an Olympics wrap up. But I also want to talk about the coverage.
Oh, okay, yeah.
A little bit. We'll talk about it more then, but some of the problematic elements of the Olympic coverage related to how they talk about women's hockey.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. It has been not great. Don Cherry said some things. Mike Milbury said some things.
Oh, the two names I never
I
would
know.
Have guessed.
I know. So, and Milbury basically saying that the Slava Voynov domestic violence incident, for which he was convicted and served time for, so it's not even like it's alleged, convicted, was an unfortunate incident that cost the Kings a good player.
I just
so
can't.
Yeah, Mike Milbury should not be on television anymore.
Like, Mike Milbury shouldn't be.
He just should not. He shouldn't have a job.
No.
You say something like that, I mean, he says a lot of terrible things, but most of them are related to evaluating hockey and watching hockey, and he just has terrible takes, but and it just appears like he doesn't know the game as well as you would think he would, given the position he's in. But I mean, you say something like that,
there should be consequences.
There should be employment consequences for that, and an apology for that. And there's just nothing. And especially given the supposed hockey is for everyone month, which, yeah. So there's been a lot of not great things that have happened in this month, including racist comments being thrown at Devontae Smith-Pelly at the Blackhawks game. I mean, to the Blackhawks' partial credit, they threw those fans out and have apparently now banned them for life from attending Blackhawks games at the United Center, which is a good thing, and that's certainly a step. But I think that given the climate we're in right now with addressing racism and misogyny, and especially given that it's Black History Month, and that we should be even extra aware of these things at this time, to not then turn around and make it more of a teaching moment and okay, you know, we're going to kick these fans out, these particular fans out, and ban them for life, but we are also going to make sure that this doesn't happen again, and this is the kind of outreach we're going to do, and this is the kind of fan education we're going to do, and extra messaging we're going to provide on the big screen at every game, and just go that extra step. And they just didn't do any of that. And you know, unfortunately, coupled with the Blackhawks' bad track record for handling incidents,
for
he who shall not be named, as well as, you know, I think the chorus of voices that are challenging their logo again, especially given that the Cleveland Indians have now gotten rid of Chief Wahoo moving forward, that it just seems like they're not doing enough. And whereas in the past, even, you know, 4 or 5 years ago, this might have been acceptable, but it just isn't anymore. And the climate has changed, and these businesses are just not keeping up with it. And so I hope that people still continue to challenge these teams and to do better, and that they do. But I just, you know, it's hard, especially when you're a member of a community that's affected by these things. And, you know, it's not, I mean, there are not a lot of visible people of color in hockey, especially in America, whether it's on the ice or off the ice or in the stands, and to try and create an environment where more people of all backgrounds are invited to enjoy this game, which we love, because this isn't going to help.
Because clearly, you know, that those people felt perfectly comfortable doing that and didn't realize that there would possibly be any repercussions to what they did. And, you know, I'm glad that there were some, but I think you're absolutely right. There needs to be something done to sort of make that a little bit louder, so that more people will realize that that's the case. Because I think just taking action isn't, like, that particular action isn't enough, because it's, that's not necessarily spreading the word.
Yeah, you can't just assume that you can just take out the bad apples and the problem's done with, you know.
And realistically, other than not allowing them to purchase tickets through the team sites, if they're going to StubHub to get a ticket, everybody's checking IDs. They're getting back in. So you can say yes.
And they can go to any other rink.
Right. They're banned for life. But, you know, how enforceable is that sort of thing? But the fact that it did happen during, you know, you can play, hockey is for everyone, the whole, all the things they try to cram into February to make it look like teams are being activists. And and to be fair, some teams have stepped up more than others. Some teams are barely doing the minimum, or they're trying to roll it into this very general sense. It's frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, it's just that it's, while teams are seem to be trying to do a little more, some teams are trying to do a little more, they're just not keeping up yep. with the level of expectation and change mm-hmm. that's happening. And again, you know, especially given the political climate and the Me Too movement and yeah. all of these other things, that the level of expectation has just been set higher and they have to keep up.
It seems like hockey fandom has moved on, but the NHL has not kept up. Because even mm-hmm. tonight at the Vegas game, how many times did the camera pan on like just groups of women, large groups mm-hmm. of women? There weren't boyfriends, husbands, men, whatever yeah. there. It yep. was just a bunch of girls out going to a hockey game.
Yep.
Much like I do when I go right. to a hockey game with yeah. my girlfriends. That's a big chunk of the fan base. Mm-hmm.
And yet you still see the Ice Girls in these skin-tight, leather-ish looking cat suits with plunging cleavage. And the guys are wearing like these giant Roman-style, like, you know, tunics.
Tunics,
yeah.
Shiny
and,
gold
and sweatpants, basically.
yeah. yeah. And it was, the guys never made it on camera yeah, and they during were the not ice on, sweeping bits. Yeah,
yeah they never did.
So it was the women.
So it's frustrating because it's changing from the fan level, mm-hmm. but it's mm-hmm. not changing from the top.
Yeah. yeah.
So there. Well, that was. I don't want to end it on that. And this is a crossover podcast. So do you have old hockey, not old hockey, or what the puck, or anything like that?
Well, we almost saw history being made tonight.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, but we did not.
Well, we did not. So why don't we talk about what history almost could have been made if it hadn't been the game of sadness?
That's right. If Vegas would have won tonight, they would have set the NHL record for most home wins in an expansion year.
Mm-hmm. Was it home wins or wins overall?
It was was it home wins or I thought it was home wins, I think. Okay. The 79-80 Hartford Whalers have the NHL record for most home wins in a
by
season with like 30
game.
However many or however many it is that Vegas tied it with their last win. They could have won it tonight. So the Whalers' record lives on for another day.
Okay, so this is my hashtag old hockey question,
all right.
and both you and Rachel can jump in on this okay. one, is the Hartford Whalers...
Yeah, the greatest team of all time.
This is what I want...
A.K.A. the Carolina
to
Hurricanes.
Know. Exactly. Because this year, the Carolina Hurricanes were sold.
Yes.
They have a new owner who has been... trying to sort of bring the ghost of the Hartford Whalers uh-huh. back. There was like a jersey thing.
Yeah.
They're playing the whatever their goal song was that people...
Brass Bonanza
that people loved for some reason.
Still love.
Yeah,
please
still
explain to me, other than a really, really good logo, what is it about this team that people still cling to today? Because you mentioned the Hartford Whalers, mm-hmm. and people get like this little, like this look in the eye,
yeah,
like Brigadoon or something.
right.
So, Rachel and Stephen,
yes.
explain to me the mystique of the Hartford Whalers.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of factors. Uh-huh. I think number one was the geography of it, where so you have New York with two then three teams mm-hmm. right, and then you have Boston with the Bruins, so there's like so you have the two original six teams, the Rangers and the Bruins, that are mm-hmm. these behemoths of hockey in terms of tradition and history and stuff like that. And I think people in Connecticut are divided in other sports, and you know, it's kind of like this amorphous no man's land.
Yeah.
But for this brief shining moment, they had their own team
mm-hmm.
and it was special. So it was a small market team that they didn't have to glom on to the Boston team that was far away or the New York team that was far away. They had their own team close by that was theirs and nobody else's, that they didn't have to share. And so I think that's the first part of it.
Right.
And I think the second part of it, that they were just a really fun team
yep.
and had just some really exciting players. They had, I think, the balance of the scrappiness and the skill that made them fun to watch. And so I think those are the two things.
I think it also dates back because before there were the Hartford Whalers, they were the New England Whalers in the WHA.
Yes.
Which were like one of the charter franchise. I think they won three or four championships, Avco Cups. They had Gordie Howe came
yep.
out of retirement to play at Houston, but he eventually went to
New England to play with his sons, Marty and Mark Howe.
And Mark later played for the Flyers.
Yeah. And so when they were the Bruins in the 1970s, and they had Bobby Orr and they were good, but they weren't winning cups good. They were always losing to the Habs, whereas the Whalers were like suddenly winning these pro championships as well. And so that sort of like instantly built some credibility and some love for the team and in the region. So I think it even stems from there and just, you know, passed on to the generations. The Whalers had this thing. And it's funny because the Whalers only ever won one playoff series in their entire existence and didn't even make the playoffs for the last 5 years of their existence. And yet people like have so much passion. I think it also because ESPN is headquartered in Bristol, Connecticut, and that is kind of near Hartford. And I know that Chris Berman of...
It's not really.
Is it?
Well, we live in Alberta. It's real close compared to what we're used to.
Okay.
You understand. But and so I think there's a certain, you know, whenever you get like some professional fans, so to speak, who have a bit more of a higher profile, I think, you know, a lot of people sort of glom on to the mystique of this team that isn't necessarily should be there.
I think there's also a lot of rose-colored
nostalgia
for it. Yeah, I mean, and it is a great logo, and Brass Bonanza is great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see just to what level they continue to roll that history into the team. I think it's an interesting contrast when you look at Carolina trying to infuse the Hartford Whaler history into the team in comparison to, I don't know, let's say the Winnipeg Jets, who aren't technically the same team, but are also infusing that history into their experience.
They're infusing Winnipeg history as opposed to the Jets franchise because they moved from Atlanta and had a very unsuccessful run in Atlanta. You know, and it's like the New Jersey Devils don't exactly like have a Colorado Rockies or Kansas City Scouts banner hanging in the rafters anywhere.
Although, I think I've seen the Colorado style in just like one-off merch every now and again.
Well, the New Jersey Devils jerseys this year, the striping pattern on their sleeves, they actually described it as like mimicking the stripe pattern as on the Colorado Rockies jerseys, which was like the first sort of public acknowledgement of even a part of their history before New Jersey. So
I would assume the Avalanche are denying that their team was ever in Quebec.
Oh, no. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, I know. No, it's to further that point, I mean, some teams completely ignore it. Like the Hurricanes basically wiped the slate clean. Like all the retired numbers that Hartford had, they took them out. You can wear them again. But Colorado still honored the retired numbers for a while. I think they took them down. But Joe Sakic played for both Quebec and Colorado. So because of that, there's still kind of a tie there. And like Bill Goldsworthy and Neil Broughton have their numbers retired for the Minnesota North Stars in Dallas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you couldn't do that to Neil Broughton.
No, you can't do that. So some teams sort of really are sort of honor their history. The Arizona Coyotes still had the whiteout during the playoffs that the Winnipeg Jets used to do. That carried over as well, and they still had a Jets. So
what is the whiteout? I don't understand.
Another old hockey.
Before you jump into that, like I just want to say, is it possible that because Carolina wiped out the Whalers, you know, like really didn't try to hold on to any of that, do you think that might build up the nostalgia factor a little bit more?
There was a
complete break, and the fact that it was not sort of acknowledged, so it only lived in people's memories. And they didn't have anything tangible to hang on to. Well, there was nothing to sort of make it fade away.
I don't know. The NHL shop sells so much damn
it does old now, stuff. But for the longest time,
they didn't.
The city of Hartford, I think, and the old owner used to be the sole owner of the Whalers trademark. So even though you can get like vintage merchandise for a lot of other teams, the Whalers were that one team that you couldn't get it for. And so that also kind of built the mystique. It's like, we really want Whaler stuff.
Absence makes the heart grow fonder.
You got it.
But the NWHL was able to call their Connecticut team the Whale.
Yeah, because by the time, I think maybe 5 or 10 years ago is when they finally bought the rights and went to that. So there you go. Does that answer your question, Deb?
That does, except now we have to hashtag what the puck. What is a whiteout?
Oh, yeah, whiteout. So when the Flames, had a thing called the Sea of Red. They basically, in the mid-80s, they told their fans, wear red. Everyone wear red to our playoff games, and we'll like look, you know, like kind of like what a lot of sports teams do now, to just create this, you know, monochromatic look in the stands. And so they played Winnipeg in the 85 playoffs, and so Winnipeg, in contrast to that, decided everyone wear white instead. And so everyone wore white, painted their faces white, and just the sea white, basically, to counteract the sea of red, and they called it the whiteout. And so in the first, when the Coyotes were actually decent, when they first moved from Winnipeg, they still wore white in the playoffs, which some thought was kind of neat because, you know, they were honoring the tradition of the the team that moved.
Yep. Right. So you think Winnipeg will do that this year when they inevitably make the playoffs?
They did when they played Anaheim 3 or 4 years ago. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it'll be back. I know.
It always comes back around full circle to our
discuss of the Anaheim Ducks. All right. Well, everyone's getting tired. You have anything else left to say? Anything else before we truck off?
No, I'm already starting to get nauseous about the gold medal game. I can tell. It's happening.
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Well.
I really, really... The fact that USA lost to Canada in the prelims, which is a reversal of the last trends where it was... USA beat Canada in the prelims and then lost the gold medal game. Mm-hmm. I feel like that's got to be the flip. It's got to be the flip.
Right.
It's going to happen.
That USA is obviously going to beat Canada in the gold medal.
I don't know, though. I'm like stressing out because of them leaving Carpenter off the roster again. And meaning not that they left her off twice. The stress is back again.
Yeah, I understand.
I don't know. I just don't know. I'm scared. I'm so scared. I can't go through this again. No. I cannot.
The evil empire of Canada.
Yes. Screw those guys.
Evil hockey empire.
Yeah.
Just evil winter sports empire. Mm-hmm. It's really funny because...
No, except for Tessa and Scott. They get the exception.
Oh, you need to read Mary Clark's tweets tonight then.
Yeah. No,
there's
I love Tessa and Scott.
There's some bitterness after
is
that.
Really?
I love Tessa and Scott. They get the exception because they're in love.
Apparently Canada like lost the cheese off their cracker when they didn't win the gold medal at the last Olympics. And a little. I don't know. I don't follow.
No, I don't even either as much. So I can't claim that much of a victory. All I know is we've enjoyed the curling that we've watched, right?
The curling's been fun. I never understood curling. Curling is... Scott Speedway likes curling.
Speedway. He likes it. He likes to play it safe, though.
Just to play it safe. It's a nice, safe sport.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could probably throw your back out during that curling position, but it just, the thing that I really like about it, it like looks like my aunts and uncles out there doing it. Like, they don't look like athletes.
No, that's kind of what's great about it.
It's just, you know, they're going out and eating chicken fingers and drinking beer when it's over with. They don't have a diet plan.
Nope.
They got to sweep a lot of stuff and they got to throw a rock.
Yep.
So it's great. And Mr. T likes it.
Oh, yeah, he is
Mr.
full
T
on.
Mr. T loves it.
Mm, yeah, curling.
Curling.
It's what's happening.
It is. But not next week. Next week will be Olympic talk and trade deadlines. So.
Yep. A lot of
fun.
See where the playoff shuffle is at that point.
Yeah. Exciting times ahead, everyone. All right. Thanks for listening to this on the Hockey Feels feed.
And the Beginner's Puck feed.
Yeah. For this wonderful crossover cast, which I like doing because it means we've just been to a hockey game
Yay.
In a different city.
Yep.
Despite the results. So.
And we were too busy going to ghost towns to do a car cast.
Exactly. So you're getting it all right here. All right. Until next time, then, I'm Steven.
And I'm Rachel.
And I'm Erica.
And I'm Deb.
Goodbye.
Beginner's Puck is a Castrier production for the Incomparable Network. Our catchy theme tune is Ephemeral by Sunspot. Have a hockey question you'd like us to discuss on an upcoming episode? Reach out to us on Twitter at beginnerspuck or email us at beginnerspuck@gmail.com. And you can find all of our extensive show notes at theincomparable.com/puck.